WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Cooper Lawrence. At least 11 people were killed and dozens injured Saturday night in Vancouver after a car rammed a Filipino Heritage Day festival. Police say they have a suspect in custody. Here's CBS's Anna Schachter.
Police on Sunday night did release the suspect's name, Kaiji Adam Lowe, age 30, and they charged him with 8 counts of second-degree murder. He did appear in court in Vancouver already on Sunday. Police say they expect more charges to be filed.
Canadian authorities say there are no indicators of an ideological motivation behind the attack. One vendor at the festival witnessed the shocking moments.
It looked like a bowling ball hitting bowling pins and the pins just flying out. Seeing bodies just flying in the air was incredibly shocking.
Dr. Francis Collins, the former director of the National Institutes of Health, tells 60 Minutes he fears aggressively downsizing the NIH could impact the health of Americans for generations. 60 Minutes correspondent Sharon Alfonsi has more.
Earlier this month, a Trump administration plan to cut the National Institutes of Health budget by more than 40% was leaked to the press. The preliminary budget sent shockwaves through the nation's health agency, but also the wider scientific community that relies on the NIH to fund research. Since January, 1,300 NIH employees have been fired and more than $2 billion in research grants canceled.
A new study from Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center found a breakthrough cancer therapy that's highly effective. CBS News chief medical correspondent Dr. John LaPook says the results are remarkable.
Cancer cells are very tricky, and they have a way of sort of hiding from the immune system, putting a cloak of invisibility on them. And this therapy essentially strips the cancer of the cloak of invisibility and allows the immune system to go to work and try to attack the cancer.
A big night in baseball for one player.
Arizona Diamondbacks third baseman Eugenio Suarez recorded the first four-homer game of this season and the 19th in Major League Baseball history. That from Diamondbacks MLB TV. He is just the third player to ever record a four-homer game and have his team lose in the process. Matt Piper, CBS News.
The horror film Sinners tops the box office for a second week in a row, raking in another $45 million. The 20th anniversary re-release of Revenge of the Sith landed in second place, followed by the account.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Day two of the draft. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports from Green Bay, where the second and third rounds of the NFL draft going on at Lambeau Field. Some of the great Packers that have been taken in the past in these rounds include safety Nick Collins and wide receivers Greg Jennings, James Jones. Tomorrow's rounds 4-7, Packers GM Brian Gutekunst.
Yeah, I think, you know, right now it looks pretty good. You never know when the runs are going to go, and all of a sudden it won't, but it looks pretty good. We got some really good players up there. We're excited to get to them and see if we can add some players. Again, I think it was a really good night for the Packers. I'm really eager to get back at it tomorrow, see how this thing falls tomorrow, and see if we can do some good.
A full recap later tonight. NBA, the Bucks and the Pacers playing Game 3 of their playoff series at Fiserv Forum. Baseball, the Brewers making a roster move, moving pitcher Tobias Myers off the 15-day IL. To make room, they send reliever Brian Hudson to the Nashville team. The crew in St. Louis for a three-game weekend series. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Central Wisconsin weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly cloudy, lows around 49. A few showers and storms toward daybreak. Monday, showers and storms, some severe. We could see large hail, damaging winds, and possibility of tornadoes. A high near 71 degrees. It will be windy most of the day.
Right now, it's 49.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, he is running to head up the Wisconsin Democratic Party. Joe Zepecki joins us. Also, Will Westmoreland. His YouTube channel is The Back 40. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The advantage of being a high school dropout is what you don't have. Like, you don't get it. That is below the dignity of your station, man.
Derek Van Orden wants you to know, as a kid, he was on food stamps. He was raised by a single mom. Me too. Attacking and belittling a witness, using your personal story to somehow justify it, it doesn't make you right. You know what's below the dignity of your station? Being a jerk while someone is raising valid concerns about the jerk move that you're about to make.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people, this is the Maggie Dawn Show.
We, as Republicans, as Democrats, as independents, as liberals and conservatives,
get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
If it was bad before today, I cannot believe how much worse it has gotten.
If we don't band together and protest, our democracy will be gone.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
And I'm freaked the frickin' frack out.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth, here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. My name's Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. An incredible development today in our democracy and in Wisconsin politics. Circuit Court Judge Hannah Dugan was arrested by, all accounts, a gang, a large grouping of federal law enforcement. Inside or outside, we're unsure as of yet, the Milwaukee County Courthouse. Judge Dugan showed up at 8 a.m. to handle her docket of cases today and was again met and arrested in quite a display. A display described by Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley at a press conference earlier this afternoon at 1:30 that I was in attendance at as a performative display by law enforcement. That in and of itself is unusual. What Judge Dugan has been arrested for is unusual, and we'll get to all of that and the specifics of the allegations as set forth in an affidavit signed by an FBI agent and attached to the criminal complaint. But I want to talk about Hannah, Judge Dugan, Hannah Dugan, my friend and a colleague of mine. I was, as many of you know, the Corporation Counsel for Milwaukee County for well over 7 years. Lawyers that worked for me appeared in Judge Dugan's courtroom. I have met and spoke with Judge Dugan on a variety of matters over many years. Let me share with you a little bit about Hannah. Hannah is 65 years old, and she was born and raised in Milwaukee. And like a native daughter, she attended and graduated from the University of Wisconsin Law School. She has taught law courses to soon-to-be lawyers at Marquette University Law School and the Seattle University School of Law. But what I want you to know about Hannah is that she has spent the entirety of her legal career serving her community. Hannah has worked with legal aid organizations before she became a judge, serving the poor and the most vulnerable in our community. She then served as the executive director of Catholic Charities of Southeastern Wisconsin from 2006 to 2008. If you're not familiar with Catholic Charities, they provide emergency food and shelter, financial assistance, and counseling and support. Judge Dugan, Hannah, my friend and colleague, has been an advocate for lawyer ethics, judicial ethics. She helped write Milwaukee County's Code of Ethics, which applied to me as the county's corporation counsel and applied to and applies to all elected officials in Milwaukee County to this day. Hannah So believes in the obligations of lawyers to serve the Constitution of these United States and the state of Wisconsin, that she also referees attorney discipline cases that are proceeding before the Office of Lawyer Regulation in the state. So respected by her colleagues is Hannah that she has served as president of the Milwaukee Bar Association. Hannah ran for circuit court first in 2016 and won with 65% of the vote. She has been a judge on the Milwaukee County Circuit Court for 9 years. Here's what I can tell you about Hannah, my friend, the person. Every discussion I've ever had with Hannah is one that is engaged and one where Hannah has demonstrated not just a deep respect for the law, but the people whom the law is supposed to serve, as well as I mentioned, legal ethics. Hannah is a good person, a judge that acts in good faith, a judge that, in my experience, has always endeavored to follow the law. Today, my friend and colleague Hannah Dugan, Judge Hannah Dugan, appeared before U.S. District Court Judge Stephen Dries at 10:30 a.m. in the federal courthouse after being arrested at approximately 8 a.m. Hannah herself made no statements during that initial appearance. Her lawyer said this, that she wholly regrets and protests her arrest, and that her arrest was not in the interest of public safety. The judge has been released on her own recognizance. And I want to say this, Hannah, if you're listening, lawyers in Milwaukee County, judges, your friends and colleagues support you. They know that what we're witnessing is lawlessness and intimidation, the installation of fear in those that sit in our state courts of law. I stand with Judge Dugan. Her arrest is an abomination. The manner of her arrest, an even greater abomination. I support you, Hannah. We support you. I believe in your innocence. So I've told you a little bit about Hannah Dugan, the person. So I want you to know some of the facts as we know them today. What actually occurred in her courtroom. And then I'm going to share with you why I can sit here today and say, I believe Judge Dugan to be innocent. I believe the manner of her arrest and the fact of her arrest to be lawless and antithetical to the first principles of our democracy. Here is what we know. This is based on the affidavit signed by an FBI agent, an affidavit that, of course, is one-sided in support, as all affidavits by law enforcement that lead to the arrest of persons are. Here's what the FBI affidavit said. FBI and ICE officials came to the Milwaukee County Courthouse, as they have in increasing frequency in the past few months, to effectuate the execution of an administrative ICE warrant for detention. And I remind everyone who's listening that administrative ICE warrants are not subject to the Fourth Amendment. They have not and do not reflect Fourth Amendment due process protections. There is no federal judge that is signed off on an ICE warrant. They are signed by whomever the heck knows, some official within Immigration and Customs Enforcement or the FBI. And again, they are not required to show probable cause, direct evidence that they have the right person, that the person that they're detaining or desiring to detain is in fact here legally. Again, no requirement of probable cause, the very underlying constitutional predicate for an arrest or seizure warrant to be issued under our Constitution. So Hannah Dugan was confronted or informed that ICE and FBI officials were outside of her courtroom with this non-compliant with the Fourth Amendment, not signed by any federal judge, administrative warrant. Judge Dugan confronted those agents in the hallway and asked if they were in the courthouse for a hearing. But sometimes federal agents give evidence in state court proceedings. According to the FBI agent's affidavit, Judge Dugan was visibly upset and had a, quote, confrontational, angry demeanor when she was informed that the federal agents were waiting outside her courtroom to arrest a man who was appearing before her today, had an appearance scheduled before Judge Dugan, on a misdemeanor state battery charge. Now, I don't know if this man did what he was accused of, but you can read the news coverage of what he has been accused of. Looks like a roommate dispute. But whether or not this man did what he has been accused of, whether or not this man that ICE and the FBI were seeking in Judge Dugan's courtroom in the Milwaukee courthouse, in a state courthouse, is irrelevant to the question of Judge Dugan's arrest and the manner of her arrest. When she was informed that they had this administrative warrant to detain Mr. Flores Ruiz, she instructed them to speak with the court's chief judge. This makes sense. That is prudent. Apparently, an agent in plainclothes did not follow Judge Dugan's orders and directions to speak with the chief judge. An agent in plain clothes, without telling Judge Dugan this, appears to have stayed behind in the hallway. And perhaps according to this agent's overhearing or other witness testimony, in the affidavit, it is alleged that Judge Dugan then postponed Mr. Flores Ruiz's hearing and directed he and his lawyer to leave through a private jury room exit instead of the public hallway. The affidavit quotes the courtroom deputy as having heard Dugan, Judge Dugan, say the words to the effect of, "Wait, come with me," before ushering them through this jury door. This, according to the affidavit, is unusual because only deputies, juries, court staff, and in-custody defendants being escorted by deputies use the jury door. According to the affidavit, defense attorneys and defendants who were not in custody never used the jury door. Agents later spotted Mr. Flores Ruiz outside the courtroom and detained him after a brief foot chase. Judge Dugan is facing two federal criminal charges, obstruction and concealing a person from arrest. The highest penalty she could face is 5 years in prison. The affidavit and the criminal complaint also allege that Judge called the fact that immigration agents were in the courthouse absurd, according to a witness. This has prompted outcry across the legal community and from many political leaders and elected officials, from lawyers, from criminal defense lawyers. Christopher Wilborn, president of the National Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers, when he heard of Judge Dugan's arrest today, of Hannah's arrest, stated that American democracy rests upon the independence of the judiciary. Retaliatory action from the executive branch that appears to undermine the foundation of our democracy demands unwavering scrutiny and a resounding response. When we get back, I will share some of the county executive's statements earlier this afternoon. And I'm going to share with you my legal analysis. So before you go jumping to conclusions, I'm going to explain why the presence of ICE agents in the courtroom is likely a violation of the 10th Amendment. And while Judge Dugan has the absolute right to total control of her courtroom in accordance with longstanding judicial precedent, and why what she did is honoring our Constitution, not undermining it. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross, calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that, where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future and what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that.
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
David Hogg, Democratic National Committee Vice Chair, says, no, we're going to spend $20 million to take out fellow Democrats who are either too old or not voting progressive enough. And Republicans are doing this as well. They don't want any compromise, zero-sum game. I spent 30 years in politics. The best politics are pragmatic. You get 75% of the loaf and you move on.
Catch the Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wxco.fm/contest-terms.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. We're covering the arrest of Milwaukee County Circuit Court Judge Hannah Dugan earlier this morning at 8 a.m. in or around the Milwaukee County Courthouse by a, quote, performative group of law enforcement officers. I'm going to get into the legal analysis. I'm going to invite all of you to join our discussion, including people, Mark from Sussex on the text line, vehemently disagreeing with my read on this. Listen, we need to have these conversations. We need to actually be able to engage with one another about why this is, and in my opinion, is not acceptable in an American democracy or in any democracy for that matter. 855-752-4842. Pat from Milwaukee, Ron from Appleton. I've got you on the caller lines. I want to lay out some of the legal analysis here. The first thing I want to remind everyone that's listening is that back in the first Trump administration, this pretty much exact same damn thing happened. In 2019, the Justice Department charged Newton District Judge Shelley Joseph with obstruction of justice. They alleged that she had helped a man who was in the United States illegally leave out of the back door of a courthouse to evade a waiting immigration law enforcement agent. The case was ultimately dropped in 2022 under the Biden administration, and she agreed to refer herself to a state agency that investigates allegations of misconduct by members of the bench. By the way, she's still defending that. There's been no resolution there. So this isn't the first time the Trump administration has tried this. In addition, I want to remind everyone that 16 different jurisdictions have successfully sought and obtained temporary injunctions in this Trump administration preventing Donald Trump from withholding critical funds for law enforcement purposes from those jurisdictions simply based on Trump's claim that they are, quote, sanctuary jurisdictions, which I'm going to tell everybody has absolutely no legal definition, none whatsoever. I have some experience with that exact tete-a-tete with the Trump Department of Justice, because as Milwaukee County's Corporation Counsel in 2018, we were asked to explain to the then Trump Department of Justice why Milwaukee County wasn't a sanctuary jurisdiction and why we weren't violating these various federal laws and why we should continue to receive absolutely essential up to $6 million a year in law enforcement supporting federal funds, things for various positions within the district attorney's office, a whole gamut of services supported by those federal Department of Justice grants. So again, 16 jurisdictions in Trump 2.0 have had the Trump administration try to yank their funding back, and federal courts have stepped in and said, no, you can't do that. Just yesterday, that again occurred in the Northern District of California. Judge Orrick, again, enjoining the Trump administration. And by the way, Judge Orrick did this same exact thing, had to make this same exact ruling during Trump 1.0. And in his ruling yesterday, in his very brief order, wrote the words, here we go again, period. Now, what I'm going to say to you right now is so very important. The reason Hannah Dugin committed no crime, why this is specious at best, and as we actually know, it's what it is at its worst, an effort to instill fear and intimidate sitting state court judges from following the U.S. and state constitution. Why is that the case? I'll also remind you that during Trump 1.0 in Massachusetts and the state of New York, injunctions were issued by federal judges that prevented the first Trump administration from entering state courthouses in Massachusetts and New York to effectuate ICE warrants. Why? What would be the legal basis for all of these many, many, many federal judges to continuously tell the Trump administration, no, you don't get to make ICE arrests in state courthouses. No, you don't get to withhold federal funding based upon wishy-washy allegations of jurisdictions being sanctuary cities. And the reason is the 10th stinking amendment. And I want to put this all in a much bigger context as well. I'm going to get into the 10th Amendment. But remember when conservatives used to pound the table about things like local control and states' rights? Remember when that guy out in Wyoming or Oregon or wherever it was like, screw the Bureau of Land Management. They're not coming onto my land. And there was a stinking standoff. Remember what all the MAGAverse was saying back then? So let's return to the 10th Amendment. What the 10th Amendment says is those powers not explicitly granted to the federal government shall always be reserved in the states, and accordingly, federal government cannot seize the apparatus of state and local government to effectuate and execute federal law. So let me slow that down a bunch. This one's for the Trump voters out there. What that means is that the federal government should it be executing ICE warrants in state courthouses that are there to serve the purposes of state law under state constitutions? Because their very mere presence perverts and undermines the faithful executions of our state constitution, the faithful execution of the laws of this state to protect this state's residents. When we come back, we're going to go to the phones. We're going to dig in. We're going to have a discussion. 855-752-4842. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
Falls Radio, WXCO. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief, the man who police say plowed into a festival killing 11 people in Vancouver has a history. CBS's Anna Schechter reports.
Police told reporters the man was known to police, that they had had interactions with him, not recently, and that he had mental health issues.
Dr. Francis Collins, former head of the NIH, tells 60 Minutes that cuts at the agency could threaten lives.
When you're talking about clinical trials for Alzheimer's disease or cancer that may take 3 or 4 years, you can't just go in and decide, I'm going to shut those down and maybe I'll try something else. Those are people's lives at risk.
Our Dr. John LaPook says a genetically targeted immunotherapy could work on several cancers.
Right now, the vast majority of solid tumors are not going to have this particular genetic defect. But could you try to team up on the cancer by giving it not just one immunotherapy agent, but several, and perhaps combined with some other approaches?
CBS News Brief, I'm Cooper Long.
Day two of the draft. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports from Green Bay, where the second and third rounds of the NFL draft going on at Lambeau Field. Some of the great Packers that have been taken in the past in these rounds include safety Nick Collins and wide receivers Greg Jennings, James Jones. Tomorrow's rounds 4 through 7, Packers GM Brian Gutekunst.
Yeah, I think, you know, right now it looks pretty good. You never know when the runs are going to go, and all of a sudden it won't, but it looks pretty good. We got some really good players up there. We're excited to get to them and see if we can add some players. Again, I think it was a really good night for the Packers. I'm really eager to get back at it tomorrow, see how this thing falls tomorrow, and see if we can do some good.
A full recap later tonight. NBA, the Bucks and the Pacers playing game 3 of their playoff series at Fiserv Forum. Baseball, the Brewers making a roster move, moving pitcher Tobias Myers off the 15-day IL. To make room, they send reliever Brian Hudson to the Nashville team. The crew in St. Louis for a 3-game weekend series. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Demi Moore says aging is a gift and very different from being old. The Hollywood Reporter says the Substance actress says she prefers her current age to being 21, saying as good as 21 may sound, it was torture. The Oscar-nominated actress praised Oscar winner Anora's Mikey Madison, saying she gave a phenomenal performance. She also says that she has much more work to do and would love to be back on the Oscar stage. Also from the Hollywood Reporter, and speaking of Substance, Margaret Qualley has a new comedy that she's just learned will hit theaters this summer. Focus Features' Honey Don't also stars Aubrey Plaza and Chris Evans and is directed by Ethan Coen. Qualley plays a small-town private investigator who looks into the deaths at a church. Honey Don't will hit theaters August 22nd. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Central Wisconsin weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly cloudy, lows around 49. A few showers and storms toward daybreak. Monday, showers and storms, some severe. We can see large hail, damaging winds, and possibility of tornadoes. A high near 71 degrees. It will be windy most of the day.
Right now, it's 49.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Check out my war plans.
Pete Hegseth talking about first big strike against the Houthis in Yemen on Signal, 2 separate channels. Yes, the one you heard about before with the reporter on it. Oops-a-daisy. And now also his wife, his bro, and his lawyer who magically got hired by the Pentagon. This guy's judgment could not be worse. Do you think Hegseth should probably resign?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The advantage of being a high school dropout is what you don't have. Like, you don't get it. That is below the dignity of your station, man.
Derek Van Orden wants you to know, as a kid, he was on food stamps. He was raised by a single mom. Me too. Attacking and belittling a witness, using your personal story to somehow justify it, it doesn't make you right. You know what's below the dignity of your station? Being a jerk while someone is raising valid concerns about the jerk move that you're about to make.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look back at the entire draft for the Green Bay Packers and also major things ahead for Congress, including the future of Medicaid. Your calls as well. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome. If you're just joining us, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're discussing some serious breaking news that is both local and national. Judge Hannah Dugan arrested this morning by federal law enforcement officials for two charges. She appeared in federal court at 10:30 a.m. She proclaimed her innocence through her lawyer and was released on her own recognizance. She's been charged with obstruction, as well as, I believe, that concealing a person from arrest. I want to get the technical terms right here. But we've been discussing about this hour, and we're going to go to the phones and the text lines momentarily. If you want to join our discussion, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. We've been discussing here, in my opinion, is the federal government usurping state and local government resources to effectuate and execute federal immigration law. The 10th Amendment prevents that. In addition, state courthouses are supposed to be a place where anyone, including people who are here illegally, can go to be witnesses, to face charges and defend them, and where victims of crimes can be heard. And in order for our state law system of government to function well, and it, make no mistake, it is by far in our day-to-day lives our state criminal code that keeps us safe. That is by far the crimes that you may suffer in your life or your family. Those will be state law-based crimes. If we cannot make sure that people who are here illegally can defend themselves safely in state courthouses against criminal allegations, be witnesses against others in criminal allegations, or themselves have the crimes that have been committed or alleged to have been committed against them be heard and appear to testify in the prosecution of the perpetrators, if they themselves are here illegally, if we cannot guarantee that within our state courthouses, then we have no system of laws at all. Nothing requires ICE agents or the FBI to be present in state courthouses. If you know the guy is there, then wait outside the courthouse doors. Yes, does it make the job a little bit more difficult? It sure does. But these are competing interests. Our border security and the security of our neighborhoods, due process and individual rights, and our overarching safety as a nation. We need to be able to do better. Third, a state court judge has every right to run her courtroom as she damn well pleases. And doing so does not amount, in my opinion, to obstruction of justice. Now, I am not availed of all of the facts, and we will hear more about the facts and how Judge Dugan chooses to defend herself against these allegations as the days, weeks, and months proceed. But she is deserving of the due process that we have denied others. Moments ago on X, Molly Beck, a Journal Sentinel reporter, posted that Assembly Majority Leader Tyler August suggests that Assembly Republicans will seek to remove Judge Dugan if the charges are confirmed. I don't know what confirmed means. If she's found guilty, perhaps, you know, due process and all that. Majority Leader August continued, Assembly Republicans stand prepared to act decisively if these serious allegations are confirmed. What the hell does that mean, confirmed? So again, the 10th Amendment, a right to have safe neighborhoods as governed under state criminal code. The Fourth Amendment rights to due process of both Judge Dugan and those here in this country illegally, as well as a state court judge's right to run her courtroom in any way that she sees fit, to admit those into her courtroom as she sees fit, to ask others to leave as she sees fit, in whatever manner she sees fit to ask them to leave, is the proper purview of a state court judge. We're going to go to the phones and the text lines now, 855-752-4842. And I'm going to save a bit of my vim and vigor for the utter, dripping, ridiculous hypocrisy of an administration run by a 34-time convicted felon who tried to overthrow our democracy by inciting a violent resurrection, now charging a state court judge under two federal charges that have up to 5 years in prison when that man has never faced any real and true accountability for his crimes while he extorts hundreds of millions of dollars in legal services from law firms and as judge after judge after judge in courtroom after courtroom after courtroom finds the actions of the Trump administration illegal and unconstitutional. The gall, the hypocrisy is stunning in its magnitude. Pat from Milwaukee, you've been very patient, sir. Thank you. What is your view this afternoon?
Well, there are 3 points. Number one, the MAGAites and the Trumpansies have three goals, or a three-pronged goal for the federal government: to run the courts, run the police, and run the military, and everything else could just go to hell. The other point is I've known Judge Dugan for about 20 years. I served with her on a board of the Dominican Center, which is an organization dedicated to serving the inner city's needs in Milwaukee. She is a wonderful human being. I was so pleased to have worked with her over the years. And my third point is that what she has done is an act of incredible courage. It would be akin to some state judge in 1938 defending a Jewish person who may have been targeted by the encroaching Gestapo. I think Judge Dugan will go down as an American hero.
Pat from Milwaukee, who served with Judge Dugan on a charity board, voicing his support. Thank you, Pat. Thank you for sharing your experience with Judge Dugan. Again, I have known Hannah for many years. I consider her a friend, and I stand with Hannah. I believe in her innocence. Again, the facts will continue to be developed and come out, and perhaps there is some fact that will convince me that these initial judgments that I've made are wrong, but I frankly have a hard time fathoming what those could possibly be, short of Judge Dugan tackling a federal law enforcement officer, which we know not to be the case. Cindy from Appleton, thank you so much for your patience. What would you like to say this afternoon?
You talking to me?
Yep, go ahead, Cindy.
Hello? Well, first of all, I have two things. I know you said something about Gary from Sussex. I think Gary's going to have a problem with this because this is a woman judge. And number two, I thought administrative warrants held absolutely no weight. I thought they had to be legal documents signed by a judge. So could you clarify that for me?
Yeah, Cindy, these are great questions. This is why I continue to mention the Fourth Amendment. I want to make two comments in response to Cindy's call. Thank you so much, both Cindy and Pat. 855-752-4842, if you would like to join our conversation. Administrative warrants, ICE warrants, immigration warrants, whatever you want to call them, are not subject to the Fourth Amendment. Those law enforcement officials have no judge sign them. They're signed by whomever wants to sign one from ICE. They do not have to show probable cause. They do not have to show a reasonable evidentiary basis to believe that this individual did those crimes, is in fact the person that is here illegally, is in fact, you know, a gang member. They're not tested by probable cause. So they do not meet the constitutional requirements of the Fourth Amendment. They are therefore not at all equivalent to an actual federal judicial warrant. They do not provide the officials executing an immigration warrant with the right to enter premises that are controlled by someone else if entry is denied. Is a state courthouse a public space? It is. Is a courtroom a public space subject to entry by anyone? No, it is not. That state courtroom is controlled by the judge. And so there is a fundamental underlying question here that a state court judge in the exercise of her duly authorized authority to control her courtroom and the persons within it is concerned about the fact that the Trump administration has on a daily basis flouted court orders, directed their attorneys to basically lie to federal court judges about their non-compliance with said court orders, all relating to the illegal and unconstitutional deprivation of rights of people that are here illegally, shipping them off to gulags, and refusing to even lift a finger to return these people. What is her greatest obligation? What is her highest calling, her highest purpose as a judge? It is to follow the law, and I believe that is exactly what Judge Dugan did. Thank you so much, Cindy, for your call. I want to give some love to the folks on the text line. Lauren from Eau Claire saying, I hope Judge Dugan feels supported. This is disgusting, and I think Wisconsinites will have her back. Mark from Sussex, again, disagreeing with me, saying, are you kidding me, Maggie? Dana from La Crosse saying, since ICE feels it's okay to break the sovereignty of churches, schools, and courtrooms to apprehend those they deem unilaterally to be criminals without a finding of probable cause, wouldn't it be interesting if the International Criminal Court decided to arrest Donald Trump when he shows up at Pope Francis's funeral? Cam from Appleton says, Cash Patel, Cash Money Money Patel, the guy with a political hit list who swore to follow the Constitution, who posted on X before the charges were even filed and then deleted his post. Cam says, Cash Money Money Patel is a loser. Dana from La Crosse, agreeing with Lauren from Eau Claire and others that this is unconscionable. Jane from Madison saying that it seems to me that Judge Dugan has a courtroom to run and ICE has a job to do as well. The judge needs to get her job, and it is not required of the judge to do ICE's job for them or to let ICE interfere with her job. Precisely. That's the 10th Amendment in action. Jane from Madison understands more of our fundamental constitutional principles than Cash Money Money Patel or Pam, sure, I'll follow the Constitution, but only if Donald Trump says I can, Attorney General Bondi. Tom from Milwaukee says, was there even a federal arrest warrant from the judge? I haven't heard anything about it. I do not believe there was. That is my understanding as I sit here today. That may be inaccurate, but I do not believe that there was a federal arrest warrant. So, yeah, that means they didn't go before a federal judge to get an arrest warrant signed. And Cash Money Money Patel and Pam, I may follow the Constitution only if Donald Trump says I can, AG Bondi, just decided to arrest her. We're going to go back to the phones and the text lines, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. We're going to continue this great discussion with each and every one of you. If you disagree with me, you'll go right to the top of the caller list. New callers go to the top of the caller list. Join this discussion when we come back right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise. Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. The Todd Albaugh Show.
David Hogg, Democratic National Committee Vice Chair, says, no, we're going to spend $20 million to take out fellow Democrats who are either too old or not voting progressive enough. And Republicans are doing this as well. They don't want any compromise, zero-sum game. I spent 30 years in politics. The best politics are pragmatic. You get 75% of the loaf and you move on.
Catch The Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Farm Rescue makes sure that you aren't alone. They're there to extend the hand and to take the burden.
Even the most independent farmers need help sometimes, and asking for that help is protecting the future. Farm Rescue provides equipment and volunteers free of charge to assist in times of crisis. We're currently accepting applications for planting and haying assistance. If you or someone you know could use our help, call 701-252-2017 or visit farmrescue.org.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wxco.fm/contest-terms. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everyone. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Hearing from some of our conservative friends who vehemently disagree with me, what I would suggest for all of you, and I'm not going to do it on today's show because I want to bring on callers and other people, but I will get there probably early next week. But I want you to review some of the cases that have been decided that relate to the 10th Amendment and how the Trump administration is trying to use the apparatuses of local governments to execute and effectuate federal law. And here's what I want you all to consider, because a lot of MAGA voters are big on lower taxes and, oh, we need to protect those taxpayer dollars. Here's how I know I'm right. In the past, when local sheriffs or local law enforcement agencies have agreed to detain people that are subject to not compliant with the Fourth Amendment, baloney, we shouldn't call them warrants, immigration, ICE detention warrants, when this has happened in the past, so they keep them in local jails past the point of time when the state law basis for their detention has expired. So again, you've been bailed out or your charges have been dismissed or whatever it is, and you should be able to leave your local jail, and local law enforcement keeps them there, resulting in a violation of their constitutional due process rights, because again, ICE warrants are not subject to Fourth Amendment review. They aren't reviewed by a judge for probable cause. Anybody can make up any baloney excuse for detaining anybody, especially if they are, you know, malfeasant bad actors who lie all the time. What's happened in those cases where those individuals illegally detained in deprivation of their Fourth Amendment rights by local law enforcement? Yeah, they've sued those local law enforcement agents and won. And guess what doesn't happen? When they're awarded damages, the federal government doesn't step in and indemnify those local law enforcement agencies. No, the state and local taxpayers pay those people who had their due process rights violated. And everybody knows this, as do Republicans in the Wisconsin legislature, because they tried to introduce a bill this year to compel local law enforcement to comply with those detainer requests. And they put in this little provision that said, oh yes, and by the way, you should definitely ask the federal government to compensate you both for the cost of detention and any resulting other expenses. Yeah, those other expenses are the lawsuits that local governments will lose when they're sued by people for depriving them of their Fourth Amendment rights. Want to get to the some more text lines, people pouring in here. Carol from Madison, I am terrified of the chilling effect this will have on the judiciary. Yes, Carol, that is exactly the point. Don't follow the law. Don't follow the Constitution. Follow dear leader. And if you don't, we're going to lock you up. Carol continues, this is a warning to all of us to comply or face the consequences. If they can do this to a sitting judge, what can they do to me? Could the judge have had the plainclothes ICE agent arrested for not following her order to leave? The agents were in the hallway. Thank you, Carol. Bob from Sauk City. All of us who actually believe in law and order stand with Judge Dugan. Her arrest is one step in the Trump administration's intimidation of the judiciary. Thank you, Bob from Sauk City. Melissa, Willie Street in Madison, this is all about Donald Trump's control of state governments. Brian from Green Bay, could the judge have placed the agents in contempt? They weren't actually in her courtroom, so no. That is everything that I'm responding to today, the way that I'm answering the questions, is based on my factual understanding as of this minute. This could all change, of course, as will my analysis if the material facts are altered by further evidence. Let's see here. Melissa and Willie Street continues. Trump is committing war crimes and should be arrested in Italy. He's sending people to their deaths in gulags without due process. Just like Adolf and his minions, all guilty of the same death camp war crime. Oh, let's take a listen to what Pam Bondi had to say about this, will you, Cal?
They're deranged is all I can think of. I cannot believe, I think some of these judges think they are beyond and above the law, and they are not. And we're sending a very strong message today. If you are harboring a fugitive, we don't care who you are. If you are helping hide one, if you are giving a TDA member guns, anyone who is illegally in this country, we will come after you and we will prosecute you. We will find you.
If that doesn't strike fear into your heart, what will? When they're actually knocking on your door, scratch that. When they're breaking down your door for speaking out against them? When they're locking up your friends for following our Constitution? By the way, giving them guns, harboring a fugitive? He's not a fugitive under federal law. He is a civil federal immigration detainer request. That's all it is, a request. The manner in which Pam Bondi discusses this is itself disgusting. You inflame people's fears, you act like, and you present this as if we can either have due process and a democracy, or we can have safety. It is a continuation of the false choice that is itself a lie. So to conservative Bob, my friend Mark from Sussex, everybody else who I'm ticking off right now, can't we do both? Can't we as Americans do difficult things? Observe due process and protect our borders. Keep our communities safe. Observe the 10th Amendment and the sanctity of our state's laws and state government. And protect our borders. It'll be too late when they come for you. I promise you. We're going to take a break. And we're going to move on. I will revisit next week. Do not worry, my friends. What we got coming up next is Governor Martin O'Malley discussing Social Security. It was in Racine yesterday. You're not going to want to miss it. Keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio. WXCO 1230 AM. W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Cooper Lawrence. Dr. Francis Collins, the former director of the National Institutes of Health, tells 60 Minutes he fears that aggressive downsizing of the agency could impact Americans' health for generations. Right now, numbers of stroke are down, but that could change. 60 Minutes correspondent Sharon Alfonsi has more.
The confusion in Bethesda has also paralyzed many of the 2,500 universities and institutes that rely on the NIH to help fund their research. So far, nearly 800 grants have been terminated, some on HIV and AIDS, trans health, and COVID-19, after researchers were told their work was no longer an agency priority.
It's the 50th anniversary of the Gift of Life Donor Dash, where hundreds of families in Philadelphia run and walk to celebrate the city's Gift of Life program. KYW Radio's Shanna Day Howard